There are many people who choose not to be here for not good reasons. And we're going to find out today from this passage in Mark what that means and why it is important to keep a Sabbath. So would you stand, please? Get your best voices on and sing.
Morning, church. God is good. And all the time, Lord, your presence surrounds us everywhere we go and in everything we do. Yesterday, as I was driving on the parkway, I felt your presence in the beauty of the bright morning and the freshness of the air. I felt your love while enjoying a short day trip with my young son. I felt your love when my granddaughter sent me a I love you pop pop text from her iPad. You are present, Lord. You are present in the first crying breath of a newborn child. You are present in the last dying breath of a human whose life was well lived. You are present in the first rays of dawn. You are present in the last whips of light at dusk. You are present to comfort a soul in agony. You are present to fill the void in an empty life. You are present at celebrations of life. You are present in life itself. You have shown us the way to be like you and how to be with you forever. Please give us the strength to follow your lead and your light. Amen.
You are here, working in this.
Heavenly Father, Holy Creator, you who made the moon, the stars, and every living thing, we praise your name in song and prayer and acknowledge that you are Almighty God. Lord, I am a sinner. I have broken your law, and I have traveled down dark paths. I am not worthy to call on you. You have every right to shun me, but you don't. Your grace, O Lord, has cleansed me. Even with all that I have done, I am still saved by your everlasting love. Through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, his blood has washed me white as snow. And I thank you, Father God, and give you all the glory. In Christ's most precious name we pray.
He is evil more than
Would you please read with me, brothers and sisters, the responsive reading, Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt to free them from a lifetime of bondage. He gave them a day to worship and reflect upon their God and the work he has done. As the pastor is going to teach us today, Jesus said in Mark, the Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. Worship, personal reflection, renewal of body and spirit, prayer and service are what should fill our Sabbath. God set the time for us. God set the time for us to worship him, not the NFL. Fellowship in the church to learn about his way is paramount. The Sabbath is a holy day, and it's for our benefit. Using it as we are supposed to will bring us closer to God.
Amen. Thank you, Chip. Before I pray and get into the offering, let me just go through a few announcements with you. This Tuesday, we will have our prayer meeting at 10 a.m. as usual. And then Tuesday night, Chip, we'll do men's group. I did. I timed it so he was away from the microphone. It's been a good study. We looked this week about life being out of balance, and it really ties into the message today. And then on Wednesdays, we usually have the ladies' Bible study, C.S. Lewis's, Screwtape Letters, but it is canceled for this week. It will resume the following week, okay? So don't show up. If you show up, you'll see me sitting in my office probably, okay? Parking lot, can you hear? I didn't think so. Oh, there? Okay. We have some people in the parking lot today. On Wednesday, 5 o'clock, up at Toms River Community Church, we're going to be doing a worship and praise service. I hope you can come. I think you will enjoy it. It's going to be, mainly praise. And I'm doing a devotional. Actually, I'm Mephibosheth, and you get a gold star if you can spell that. So if you can come and worship, it was meant to bring both churches together and worship together. Coming up later in the month, next week is Father's Day already, and then the week after that, we're going to do a praise and worship service here on Sunday morning. It's a good service to invite somebody out to. I structured it so that it brings us kind of through what we do, why we do it, and then looking forward to the second coming of Christ. So make plans for it. I know it's just vacation time and no people are away, but, come and worship. So that's what we have going on. We have a showing of The Chosen coming up. I think it's Saturday, right? This Saturday? Let me take a look. Otherwise, I'll get yelled at by the secretary because I didn't read my bulletin. Let me see. Yeah. Oh, on the 27th, so it's the day before the praise service. All right, it's all in here. So please take your bulletin home. You'll know what's going on, and it will be good. Looking forward to the fall, actually in November, we are going to Sight and Sound to see their show. There's still tickets left. If anybody wants to sign up and go, please sign up. All the information's on the bulletin board back here. I think that's all I have. Somebody asked me about the new computer. It will be here. We got part of it already, but the rest of it should be here either later this week or the first of next week. It is notoriously a laborious task to set up a commercial account with some vendors. So it will be here, so be patient. All right? God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
So as we come to worship today, I want to spend some time praying for Gail, and I talked with Joan and Carmen and some others who are going through physical issues. And just to lift them up before the throne of grace. So whoever's helping with the offering, would you come up? If you're able to attend prayer meeting on 10 o'clock on Tuesdays, we welcome you to come because, at most we have maybe 7 people, 8 people, and I understand people get busy during the day and all of that stuff. You don't even have to pray. If you're afraid to pray out loud, come and just be a part of it. We've seen incredible answers to prayer. And my concern is we don't celebrate that enough. That's my concern. You know, it's almost like, when Joey was a kid, I put a piece of candy in my hand and closed my hand. I told him, you could have it if you open up my hand. Of course, he struggled with it, and finally he opened up my hand. He took the candy, and he just went away. And sometimes that's how we treat God, right? Lord, you answered the prayer. We'll see you later. No, let's worship him and celebrate the answers to prayer. So, would you join me in prayer? Father, thanks. Thank you for these dear people who came out today. Thank you that we can join our hearts and voices in worship. Thank you that we can be refreshed by your word. And thank you for the Sabbath, that we can take time out to gain our balance and to be with you. Father, we have some prayer requests this morning. I know we have some people away on vacation. We ask that you watch over them. But we also have some people in need. Pray for Gail Hahn, who's in the emergency room, that the injury to her foot wouldn't be very serious, that they would be able to take care of it, and that she would be restored back to health. We pray for the complete healing of Carmen, Father, after her surgery, that she would get a good report tomorrow from the surgeon, and that she can return to her normal activities. And Father, I pray for a young man who had just received a serious diagnosis, a life-threatening diagnosis. I just lift him and his parents up before you. I pray for the service today, Father, that you would be honored, you would be glorified, your name would be lifted high. And I pray, Father, for this week. It's a little bit of a busy week, between the meetings and the worship service at midweek. Would you just guide and direct, Father? Give people the burden to come and to worship you, but not a burden that's drudgery, the type of burden that grows out of a love for all you've done for us in spite of us. And so, Father, we give this service to you. Would you bless the offering as we use it to further the kingdom? Bless the gift and the giver. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sharon, thank you. Thank you. We have Hopalong Kedersha here today. And he just went through knee surgery. He's coming along fine. He's got his daughter Tara visiting, sitting next to him, make sure he's a good patient. Because she knows doctors make horrible patients, right? But we're glad you're here. And I'm going to pick on Doc today because I'm going to start with a medical question. Doc, when the heart goes out of rhythm, how dangerous is that? All right. It could be life-threatening, right? There's all sorts of things that can happen, some of which is stroke, right? Blood clots and all sorts of things. It's a fair statement to say that God created our bodies with a rhythm. Isn't that true? A biological rhythm. If your heart doesn't show up for work one day, it's a problem. If it goes out of rhythm, it's a problem, right? We all have biological rhythms. I want to suggest to you this morning that God created us with a need for spiritual rhythms. And I really believe, especially here in the Northeast, the churches that don't, let me come in from this angle. The churches that are faithful to the gospel and are not there to entertain people, but to preach the word of God, are facing a crisis, and here's the crisis. Even in evangelical churches like ours and others, the rhythm of the Sabbath is largely being ignored. I lost somebody. Oh, he's inside. Okay. It's largely being ignored. It's being ignored because we have let the culture squeeze it out. We've let sometimes our own choices squeeze out the Sabbath, the ability to come and worship. And when that happens, our spiritual rhythm goes out of balance, and we are, I would suggest to you, even in more grave danger than if your heart goes out of rhythm. Because without spiritual balance, without looking at this whole issue from God's eyes, who wants the best for us, by the way, we get out of balance so easily, and not only that, we begin to let everything else detract us from the word of God, the worship of God, the dedication and commitment to Christ. Now, you're going to date yourselves. How many of you remember Jack Parr, all right, Steve Allen? They both hosted The Tonight Show, back before Johnny Carson, by the way. That's how old I am. And they used to send a man out on the streets in New York with questions to ask. You'd be surprised how many common things people don't know. You see it even today. I mean, even some of these news reporters who are in some of these riots and conflicts, they'll ask the rioters why they're there. They don't even know. They don't even know. Well, they know somebody's paying them to be there, right? Well, if I were to send a reporter out with a microphone and camera on the streets to ask people, what is the Sabbath? I don't know if people, even church people, would know what that is. It comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat. And it's nothing new, but the word is as old as Genesis. You're going to see that in a minute. And God wanted us to be people of spiritual rhythm, because he knows when we lose our spiritual rhythm, we go out of balance very easily. And it can happen to every one of us. No one's immune from it. Sabbath is a day of rest. It's not complicated. It means taking a break from your normal work. It doesn't mean go work a second job. Doesn't mean to pull overtime on Sunday because you're a workaholic. It means setting aside a time for refreshment, worship, being with family, unplugging from, I don't have my phone here, unplugging from the phones, unplugging from the computers. couple of years ago when I was teaching the senior high group, I collected their phones at the beginning of the class. I thought they were going to have anxiety attacks. I can't be without my phone. Yeah, you can. You survived for a long time without a phone. We survived a long time without a cell phone, right? I mean, we get into this mindset, right? I'm here to tell you this morning, as God tells me from the scripture, that what Chip read for you before comes from the Ten Commandments. And God thought keeping the Sabbath was so important, he needed to have it carved in stone. The problem is, will we let the Holy Spirit carve that on our hearts so we take it seriously? So let's do a little journey here today. Mark chapter 2, if you're following, starting at verse 23. It says, on Sabbath, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through grain fields, and as disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees, the religious experts, the legalists, said to him, look, why are they doing that, which is unlawful on the Sabbath? The Pharisees, they twisted everything so badly and added their own rules. They didn't trust God's rules. And what they did was they added these rules to make the Sabbath drudgery. And I'll explain that in a minute. But they were following Jesus at this point because they wanted Jesus off the scene. They wanted to find him guilty of a religious crime. So this is on the Sabbath. Jesus and his disciples walking through a field, and they're picking grain. Not to sell it, not to harvest it. They were picking it because they were hungry, which was lawful back then. They didn't break any civil law back then. They didn't break any moral law. They were guilty of breaking man-made laws, right? He answered, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? He's referring back to a passage in the life of David where he was on the run. People wanted to kill King David, and they entered into the temple, and they have the showbread in the temple, which was meant to be kept for 7 days, and at the end of 7 days, it was consecrated to God. The priests could eat it, the priests in the temple. Nobody was to touch it. Well, in comes David and his men, and they were hungry. I mean, they really needed some nourishment. And David talked to the priest, and the priest said, see, the priest understood something that the Pharisees didn't at the time, that human need, true human need, is part of what the Sabbath's all about. So he said, take the bread and eat it. Be nourished. Pharisees should have known this. That's why he called them out on it. And then it says, in the days of Abiathar, high priest, he entered the house and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Can you picture the religious experts? They're probably, at this point, their blood pressure was so high, they were probably red in the face. Religious experts tend to be like that sometimes. We sit here with our clipboard and criticizing everything when we ignore the greater intent of God. Then he said to them, listen to this. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, God knew, after the fall, by the way, how frail we are. He knew what was best for us. So not only did he give us the Sabbath, he modeled it. We'll see that in a minute. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue Again, this is on a Sabbath. And a man was there with a shriveled hand. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, which according to the Pharisees was illegal. They did make an exception in all fairness if it was life-threatening. But in their minds, they set the rules. They said, you can't do anything that resembles work on the Pharisee, on the Sabbath. So they were watching. Jesus responded again to a human need. And look what happens. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. He wanted everyone to see it. Then Jesus says, which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or do evil? To save life or kill? But they remain silent. Here's why they remain silent. Because in their minds, they already convicted Jesus. They said, well, he could have waited till Monday to do this. This wasn't life-threatening. But Jesus wanted to make a greater point here. He says, in your rules and regulations, people aren't important to you. Because Sabbath were made for people. He looked around at them, who, the religious experts, in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. In theology, we call this a restorative miracle. Something may have happened to the man earlier in his life that left his hand like that, and now it's, by God's grace, completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians. That was so scandalous. We'll talk about that in a minute, too. How they might, what? Kill Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. Wow. Let me bring you back here a little bit. Okay. All right. We need to be reminded of something. In Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, we have the account of creation, of course, in chapter 1. It culminates in chapter 2 in verses 1 to 3. This is the first book of the Bible, right? And let me read this to you. It says, thus the heavens and earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished his work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. This is in Genesis, before the Ten Commandments. It says, then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Then on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So the question I want to ask you is, why do you think God rested? Did he get tired? Of course not. God is infinite. He never gets tired. But he wanted to make a model for Adam and Eve at that time to follow, to say, look, you need this rhythm in your life. Work for 6 days, but on the seventh, spend time with me. Spend time with your family. It's not an either or, by the way. Spending time with God on the Sabbath and worship is commanded. And paramount. Spend time with your family. Unplug. Be there. Be present for your family. Visit relatives. Visit widows and orphans. I mean, and you want to play baseball? Go play baseball after church. You want to go to a game? Go to a game after a church. Nothing wrong with recreation. But when it crowds out God, we get out of balance. In the men's group, we talked about this whole issue of being a workaholic. Men are notorious for it. So are women, by the way. And I don't know if you realize it or not. Some of you followed Charlie Kirk. I had great respect for Charlie Kirk. I wish he had stayed out of politics a little bit more, but He did a lot of great work. Charlie Kirk had a workaholic mentality. And then something happened in his study of Scripture. He rediscovered the power of the Sabbath. Changed his life. Changed his family. You know why? Because his spiritual heart got back in rhythm again. Now he chose to have his Sabbath on Friday night to Saturday night. So on Friday night, turn off the phone, turn off the computers, spend time with his family. They would actually worship in their church on Saturday. Then do family stuff or go visiting or you know, but he unplugged. Said it saved his life. We have a lot of people in spiritual ICU because we have ignored this. We've kind of shoved it out of the way. Now, there are several reasons why people become workaholics. One reason could be they're trying to escape a bad family situation. That's not a good reason, by the way. Another reason is that they pull their entire identity from their work rather than pulling their identity from who they are in Christ. And the third reason is pure and simple. The hunger for greed and success. And so it's a problem. It's a problem in our country. You know, we teach our people well. Work hard. Get ahead. Nothing wrong with hard work. But when it gets out of balance, you're in trouble. I'm not making this up. This is what the scripture says. And we ignore the Sabbath, we get in trouble. So God instituted the Sabbath for man. Mankind, men and women. I often get politically corrected when I say that. But he did it for us. He modeled it for us. So here's the question. If it was important for God to rest from his normal work, shouldn't it be important for us? If it was important for God to rest from his normal work, now, if God completely rested and did nothing, none of us would be here. But he rested from his normal work. Let me bring you ahead a little bit. God made the observance of the Sabbath a commandment. You know why? Because by that time in Exodus, the people had been enslaved in Egypt. The Sabbath got all out of balance because they were in slavery. The Egyptians tried not to get the people to worship. They wanted to break them. They wanted to increase their burden to break them and make them their slaves. And I think they knew that if they started to worship their God and get their spiritual bearings back again, they would be a threat to the oppressive power. I want to share something with you because it is a commandment. It's the longest commandment. There's something about Bible study, and if you ever get into it, I just gave Chip a printout that I wrote on exegesis, which is pulling the information that's in the text from the text and learning from it. You will find out that when people take the Sabbath seriously, not as the Pharisees did, they were nuts. But as God intended, then the people of God start to become a threat to Satan. Because Satan doesn't want any of this to happen. Satan would love to keep all of you from worship. He would love to keep all of you from coming and singing and uniting your voices to God in praise and prayer. He would love to keep you from that. Not only would he love to keep you from that, But he will just whisper in your ear, and you don't even need Satan for this. You do it in your own sinful nature. You can rationalize it. Lord, I got this to do. I got that to do. I got to do this. I need more money. I have to. Time out. Remember the Sabbath day, keep by keeping it holy. This is from Exodus. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, your sons or daughters, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Now, he was talking about not doing any work, your normal work, the way you make a living. You know what the Pharisees did, and the religious experts? They took this law, which was general, except for the fact that it says you shall worship your God. And they added their own laws, and they said, look, we're going to tell you what work is. If you walk on the Sabbath, you can only walk 10 steps. You can't cook on the Sabbath. Cook the day before, because that's work. You can't even lift anything above 5 pounds, because that's work. And they made it so cumbersome and so stupid, something that God never really intended. And all it did was, if people bought into it, it fed their egos. And they said, oh, look what I'm doing for God. Instead of saying, I'm here to celebrate what God has done for me through his grace and mercy. I went to visit one of our people up at Jersey Shore Hospital. And this is not a derogatory statement against anyone. I'm just telling you the facts. It was a Saturday morning, and I get in the elevator, and he was on the third or fourth floor, and I'm pressing the button, nothing's happened. And there was a gentleman behind me who's a Jewish fellow. And he says, you're not going to get anywhere by pressing your buttons. And I said, well, am I doing something wrong? He says, no, it's the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath in Jersey Shore Hospital, the elevators stop at every floor. So nobody has to press the buttons, because pressing the buttons is work. You see how ludicrous we make this? Listen, how you keep this happens between you and God, but I can tell you, there is a non-negotiable here. And a non-negotiable is not to forsake the coming together and the worship of God. Beyond that, he gives us freedom here. You can go to the beach this afternoon. You can go to Six Flags. You can do whatever you want. But I guarantee you, you're going to have your phones in your hands. I guarantee you, you're gonna be on a computer doing. You have to understand, Sunday is not a day of rest for me. It's work. I work from the time I get up, and I'll be working till about 9 o'clock tonight, getting a jump on the week and prayer meeting and all. So when do I take my Sabbath? Fridays. That's when I take my Sabbath. The phone will ring. I don't answer it unless somebody leaves a message and it's a true emergency. I have to keep my spiritual heart in balance. So do you. You know, those of you who have been hanging around me for a lot of years know this. I don't care what you wear to church. I don't really care what translation of the Bible you're using, unless you're doing some serious study, then I would suggest some better translations. I don't even really care about that. I don't care what color your hair is, or I don't care if you don't have hair. I don't care if you have a 10-pound Bible or your Bible's on your phone. I don't really care. My first care is, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? My second care is, do you love him and do you trust him to know what's best for you? And being here to worship is what's best for us. Can you see how scandalous Jesus was? I love it. I love it. And you would say, oh, Pastor, you're just a troublemaker. No, I'm not. Maybe I like to prove a point sometimes. But I'll tell you how ridiculous we can get. I love summer. I hate winter. I love summer. And my normal summer attire is shorts and a shirt, usually a button-down short sleeve shirt. Years ago, when we were in a different church in a different association, we used to have monthly meetings. In churches that were usually so cheap, they didn't put their air conditioning on. I always showed up in my shorts. Well, a bunch of the pastors got together and they started to have a betting pool whether I would come in a suit or shorts. The implication is you should be here in a suit. In other words, all good pastors wear suits. Well, let me tell you something. I don't really like this. I do it because I'm the pastor. But I don't need to do it at a meeting in a hot church. That's not where I get my identity from. Sometimes we make it all too hard. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Here he's saying, look, the Pharisees and the religious people, they got it all wrong. He gives us two living examples here. That human need always triumphs the religious need until the human need is met. Now you call me up and you say, hey, Pastor, I'm not feeling well. I have a fever. I've been vomiting. Hey, fine. Keep that to yourself. That's right. Just rest and get well. Go to the doctor, whatever you need to do. But here's the way it usually happens. People just don't show up. It's not just here. People just don't show up. And the reasons usually are not good. Maybe it's because I'm getting old and a little bit crabby. And I have to ask my wife. She agrees. But I'm convinced now than ever before that God knows exactly what's good for us. And the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath, is good. So we benefit from the rhythm of the Sabbath when we practice it as God intended. Think for a moment, and I'll close with this, but think for a moment about Daniel. In the Old Testament, how many times a day did Daniel pray? Five. That was his Sabbath during the day. Five times during the day. He would break away from his work and he would pray. Nehemiah had the same type of discipline. Early theologians called that the daily office, which is part of the Sabbath. We bring the Sabbath into every day. By taking these short breaks to be with God, to pray to him, to read his word, to listen to him, to get our lives back centered again. I would say to you, if we were if we had the discipline to do that, every day would be better. May not be easy, because we know the day brings challenges, but it will be better. And then on Sunday or on the Sabbath, when we come together, it should be then an overflow of the celebration of what God has done in our lives through the week. I told you people to start getting ready for testimonies. I mean that. Don't run away if I come talk to you. The second thing is God's rhythm is God's way of refreshing us, restoring us, and balancing our lives in a very busy world. Many authors have written about the rat race, that we live in the rat race. You know, you may win the race, but all that's left is the rat. God gives us a way to navigate this rat race in a way that brings him honor and glorifies him. And last, God commands worship as a vital element of the Sabbath. So, again, I apologize to preaching to the choir. You're here. I'm just hoping some people who aren't here might hear this. I say, oh, okay, Lord. Forgive me, I need to be there. That's my prayer. We all need to keep the Sabbath. I'm going to ask Kristen to come up and Chip. And I'll share a short story with you, just take a minute. On Tuesday nights, sometimes I get here early. Doc usually meets me here early, but with this surgery, he's kind of had to lay low. So I'm here alone, I open the door, and I put praise music on the system. Now we can crank the system up, all right? And I do, I'm not ashamed of it. And the plaza's packed, by the way. Usually when I park here on a Tuesday, I have to park by the street. And I just put praise music on. I start singing. I don't care who hears me. One of the other men who attends another church pulled in. He opens his windows. And I hear him start singing. Gets out of his car, and he's singing on his way in. Worship was starting to happen. Worship, I believe, is a healer. That's why the Sabbath can heal and refresh us. Chip?
Won't you please stand if you're able?
Deeper in the wind, still you hear me when
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all who came today. I ask your blessing on them as we go forth from this place into our mission field. May we be lovingly bold with the good news of the gospel. And Father, I pray that through the week, in all we do in word and deed, we would honor you. Father, I pray that you dismiss us in the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Enjoy the great day.